One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding Weekend Update on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Keith Parrish. Coming up, we got Rimgate in Denver. Not really. Rim was just off level. The Grizzlies pick up back-to-back wins, and they were big ones. And the Nets will not freaking lose, people. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast without ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA show. Keith, Nikola Jokic, two-time MVP. He seems like he's cruising for a third one. He picked up a huge win on Sunday for the Denver Nuggets. 123-111 leads them over the Boston Celtics. Jokic had 30 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists. Just another ho-hum 30-point triple-double for the Joker.
Right. I feel like there's so many stats that you can pull out for Nikola Jokic, and I love doing it. And we're on a run of something like 8 or 9 games where every single night you're like, no one's done this since 1968 when it was Wilt Chamberlain. And there's other ones that it's like, hey, Jokic just shot under 50% one time this year. Like, this guy is ridiculous. And we talk about, I mean, one, MVP arguments are, they get boring. But we lean on him too heavily as a crutch, possibly, in the media, always talking about him. But like, then you say, well, Jokic isn't going to win because he's won it twice. Do we get just fatigued? But every night, he's like, the man was made 10 out of 12 field goal attempts. Or like, he finished 10 for 13 against the Celtics. He's playing the Celtics. The team's the best team in the NBA, we think. And it's like, yeah, Jokic just doesn't matter. Every single night, this guy makes virtually an unmatched number of his field goal attempts, and it's jumpers, and it's mid-range shots, and it's floaters. And then he's also setting up all his teammates.
Well, speaking of those teammates, I mean, this was a team effort. Bones Highland had 17 points off the bench. But I want to talk about the starters, man. Bruce Brown, 21 points, 4 of 6 from three. This guy was a free agent. There were a lot of people saying, oh, you know, you got to be worried. How are they going to deal with his offensive inability? You know, the defense is apparent. And for me, when they signed him, I was thinking, oh, this guy's going to feast on cuts. And if he can hit some jumpers, oh, man. And Bruce Brown is cooking.
Yeah, you saw him on the Nets do all the things with the ball with his hands a little bit. And he's kind of like played that, it's like a small ball center. He was the guy screening and rolling. And you're like, all right, going to the Nuggets. I think this is one of those times where I want to say, I don't want to generalize, but I'm going to. Every NBA podcaster was like, I love this fit. Bruce Brown on the Nuggets is perfect. And everyone was so in favor of it. I'm like, this is going to bite us. Like, it's not going to work out somehow. But no, it has. Like, the pieces they've surrounded Jokic with, and the fact that they have this guy, Bruce Brown, who, like, when Jamal Murray's playing, all right, he's going to be a sixth man, or Michael Porter Jr., when the team's fully healthy, he's sixth man. But when not, which is, you know, more often than not, he fills in perfectly. And the combination of him with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, which, by the way, everyone, NBA podcaster, was a big fan of that, you know, that transaction as well. They have all these ideal pieces, not to mention Aaron Gordon, who's going to be competing for one of those coveted all-star spots in the West. And then, oh, by the way, Michael Porter Jr., he's back.
Yeah, 19 points for Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon with 18, and likely going to be an all-star. And, man, I've been trying to get KCP to play with Jokic since basically Jokic became Jokic. Now, the story of this game, look, you're going to look at the box score and you're going to say the Celtics were 9 of 33 from 3, and that's your game. But the truth is, I mean, the Nuggets were 17 of 30 from three. They shot 57% from the field and 57% from three. And I don't care what Boston shot. They just, you're not going to win a lot of games when the opposition shoots that well. I don't care what Rob Williams does to the rim.
Yeah, I was about to say, when you talk about the story of this game, Dave, I thought you were going with, if you open up that game book,
delay.
At the bottom of the game book, it says memo, game delayed for 35 minutes and 19 seconds for basket repair. Yeah, they had to pull out the little levels trying to get this rim exactly right. You said that, you know, like, you're not going to win most of the time when your opponent makes that number of threes. I think if one team can, it's the Celtics. I don't want to reduce it too much to just whoever makes the shots wins. But for me, when the Celtics make their shots, I think they'll always win. Like, when you're playing the Celtics, you're basically praying that they don't make those 15 three-pointers. You got to hold them to single digits. You have to pray for three-point variance usually to beat this team.
And I want to talk for a second about this rim situation because
they
actually changed the rim and couldn't get the new rim level. And I'm just here to tell you, the problem was not the rim. It was not the rim. We're going to move on because they didn't have power tools. That's why this stuff took so long. We're going to move on to the Memphis Grizzlies, your Memphis Grizzlies, Keith. They pick up back-to-back wins at home. They beat the Pelicans Saturday night. They beat the Kings on Sunday night. And, you know, look, we could start with Ja Morant. He had a couple of 30-plus point games. But I think the story of this weekend, Steven Adams and his rebounding. We thought this guy was washed up when he was in OKC. We thought that this guy maybe was on his last legs in the NBA. And somehow, as a traditional center, he continues to make a big impact for a team that's sitting up at the top of the West.
Yeah, I mean, Steven Adams was huge for the Grizzlies last season when they had the second best record in the West, and he's having an even better, arguably, season this year. He just became the first player in Grizzlies franchise history to have back-to-back 20 rebound games. And he's doing this against traditional other power centers. He put Jonas Valanciunas in a trash can and just beat him up, bullied him. Which, by the way, has been his habit in these matchups. Like, he's playing Domantas Sabonis, who all Kings fans are going to say, that's our all-star. This guy's, you know, earned an all-star berth. Well, guess what? Steven Adams had 23 rebounds. He had 13 offensive rebounds. That's the most offensive rebounds any player's had in a game this season. And, like, the Grizzlies, all right, they are Ja Morant. They're high-flying. They are fun. But they're not very good in the half court. And they depend a lot on, hey, when we miss shots, Steven's going to get the rebound. And he kept getting every rebound. He's now had three straight double-doubles. The Grizzlies have won three straight games. Steven Adams is a huge part of this team's success.
And we'll get to Ja Morant because he is important. But Jaren Jackson had 9 blocks in the two games over the weekend and continues to make a strong case to be in the conversation when we get there for Defensive Player of the Year. Now, he missed some time to start the year, so he's got a lot of making up to do. But, Keith, this guy is blocking every single shot inside.
Yeah, you said he's got some, you know, time to make up. The block shots, he's already made it up. He has more block shots than a ton of guys who've been playing all season. He leads the NBA in the number of blocks per game. Yeah, this team, you know, they've been, since Jaren's return, the number one defense in the NBA. And, again, Ja Morant sells the tickets, sells the jerseys, gets all the NBA Instagram impressions. But this team, their main strength right now is their defense, and with Jaren blocking the shots, with Steven Adams gobbling up every rebound, with Dylan Brooks guarding whoever you put in front of him. Like, on New Year's Eve, Dylan Brooks is guarding Zion Williamson, all right? He's guarding Zion Williamson, and this was a monumental clash of West powers. The Pelicans had the best record in the West. Dylan Brooks is who has to check him. Now, Dylan gets in foul trouble, and the Grizzlies have to throw a lot of stuff at Zion because he's an all-star and he's awesome. But, like, the Grizzlies win that game. The next night, Dylan Brooks is guarding De'Aaron Fox. Like, he has to guard everyone. He guards everyone, and then he allows Jaren Jackson Jr. to pick up these blocks. Jaren's gotten a ton of blocks against the Pelicans specifically this year, but it's because he's allowed to play off the ball. If you know Dylan is going to sick the most important guy, Jaren can be that help defender. It can be the guy blocking everything. And part of that, it's that cohesion that's helping the Grizzlies have a great defense.
And Ja scores 67 points in the two games. His ability to get to the paint, man, that's basically their offense right now. I assume that, you know, when Bane is back to full health and they get all of their complementary pieces working, we'll see a little bit more variance in their offense. But right now, Ja just gets it done, and then they do it in transition. But Ja is the tip of the spear. And when you've got a guy like that who can just drop 30 every single night, man, what a luxury. He gets to the paint at ease.
Yeah, I mean, you see the Grizzlies posting these, like, 75 points in the paint, 80 points in the paint. They blew the Pelicans out, and the Grizzlies made 5 three-pointers in that game. And then, like, the one notable thing about Jaren, yeah, he got 9 blocks in the last 2 days, but this is also the first time he's played a back-to-back all season. The very rarely seen New Year's Eve, New Year's Day back-to-back. All right. You know, you say the Grizzlies have a young team. They seem to be very responsible, took care of themselves, and were able to perform on both days very, very well, beating both, you know, competitive Western Conference teams that are in the playoff race right now.
Or maybe they just didn't mix their liquor. Speaking of the Western
Conference. Well, some guys did sit out the second game. All right.
Here we go. So speaking of the Western Conference, a little bit of an update because, you know, look, man, we're around 36 games into the season. The Nuggets are in that one seed, but we've got a little bit of a separation of the pack. The upper crust of the West right now, it's Denver in one, and Memphis and New Orleans tied for second, one game behind Denver. But Memphis picks up that big win over the weekend, and it may come into play. And you've got Dallas, the fourth seed. They're 3.5 games back of the one seed Nuggets. So we're starting to see a little bit of teasing out these top three teams. I mean, Denver's won 10 of 12. Memphis continues to win, and the Pelicans were just the one seed a couple days ago. So that playoff race, it's amazing to me when you look at it. No Golden State, no Phoenix. It's a whole new crop, man.
Yeah, I do think there is starting to be a little bit of separation in the West. I mean, Dallas obviously have put together six straight wins, and you have the Clippers with Kawhi Leonard playing very, very well. The Suns obviously dealing with the Devin Booker injury. How close they can remain, I think, to those top four or five teams is going to be the question. And then you have the Warriors who've won four straight, obviously the defending champs. I assume they're going to keep creeping up, and then eventually they're going to get this guy called Steph Curry back, and they're going to be that conversation. But I do think we are seeing, you know, all right, the Trailblazers are pretty good. The Jazz were pretty good. The Kings were pretty good. But I don't think they're in the same tier as these other teams. Maybe it's just because these other guys are proven and I trust them a little bit more. Maybe they will all stay in the fray, the Jazz, the Kings, and maybe like the Timberwolves, who are spiraling to the bottom right now. They need the change of the calendar more than anyone for a fresh start in 2023. But I agree with you. Yeah, there is some separation, and it is going to be, I think, this battle, you know, Nuggets, Grizzlies, Pelicans, they're not going away as those teams chase that number one seed.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more. Keith, the Brooklyn Nets have not lost a game since the beginning of December. It's almost a month. The winning streak started on December 7th, and they picked up their 11th win against the Charlotte Hornets, which, okay, look, we expect them to win that game. Matter of fact, Keith, I think they're going to win two more before they run into the Pelicans on Friday, where they could potentially go for their 14th. I mean, they're smoking hot right now. Kyrie Irving had 18 of his 28 in the first half against the Hornets. Kevin Durant had 23. This team is cooking, Keith. It's all basketball.
It is funny to try to remember back to, I mean, yes, there were off the court things. There was a panic around the Nets team, but like this team looked so poor on the court early in the year. They were like, you know, a couple weeks into the season, they were 13th in the East. And then it started to work. We're like, oh yeah, Kevin Durant, you know, he just every night is basically one of the best basketball players alive. And then Kyrie is cooking and now they're getting just contributions up and down the roster. What's wild about this streak they're on and about this, like, is it 15 of 16 they've won? They've even had to deal with injuries. Like, guys are in and out. Joe Harris, Seth Curry, you know, whoever. Like, Nick Claxton's playing a lot of games. Like, the most consistent guy is Edmund Sumner. He's literally played the most games for them in, like, the past 15. So it's like they're getting contributions up and down the roster. Also, you got to think, since we keep teasing year-end awards, why not for the all the debate shows, Jacques Vaughn making a case for a nice little coach of the year push, the transition from when he took power.
Yeah, you know, a couple weeks ago, a little bit controversial, Steve Kerr was asked what he thought the big turning point was. And he said, oh, guys getting healthy, guys being able to play. Well, that's definitely part of it. Having Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving on the court helps. Having Seth Curry out there helps. The truth is, man, they just look more like a basketball team. Guys are actually playing together. Now, Kevin Durant has been spectacular, and that's a guy who maybe should be getting MVP buzz. Since we're just doing all this award buzz, this whole podcast, yeah, sure, here.
Let's lean into it.
Yeah, let's just lean into it. He should be getting some MVP buzz. And, I mean, frankly, man, Kyrie Irving has really been playing great basketball, which it reminds you why we all get so annoyed when he does stuff that keeps him off the court.
Exactly. Yeah, and do we still have a comeback player of the year? TJ Warren, man. TJ Warren is back and contributing on the basketball court. Like, they're getting just contributions everywhere. I mean, like, Yuta Watanabe, just a guy, a hustle guy coming in, just drilling three-pointers. It's all working. Like, the dream of what the Nets could be that we thought, oh, I guess we're never going to see it. Now it has come to fruition this past month.
And finally for the weekend, Luka Doncic has been on a run. Now, the merits of this run, we can't question. 51 points, his third 50-point game. Of course, he had a 60-point game last week. 51 points in a Dallas Mavericks victory over the San Antonio Spurs. They defeat them 126-125. And that, Keith, is the number that I want to focus on. 51 points from Luka to steal a one-point win over this lowly San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, I see where you're going. Oh, I see you, Dave.
A 60-point triple-double, yeah, to pull off a miracle. Yeah. Miracle. Don't forget, this man also had to miss the free throw and get the putback to force overtime in the 60-point game. Luka Doncic has to do everything. And Keith, these numbers are very impressive, but they are depressing.
You just think he needs a little bit more help? Are you saying he needs to pat? Well, like, what should he do differently? I could, if someone presented an argument to me, was like, listen, the Mavericks would be more efficient if these other players were shooting more, maybe less Luka, which is hard to fathom, because the guy, his shooting percentages are incredible. And even in the 51-point game, he had zero turnovers. And the guy has the ball in his hand the whole game. That's remarkable. And all of that to win by one over possibly the worst team in the West. Now, I don't know what to do about it. Do I just say, hey, Luka's teammates, be better? If Luka does that, you guys should win by 30? Do the Mavs, is that a weakness that they are? Like a one-man band where defenses can just say, all right, Luka's going to get all his, and as long as Reggie Bullock doesn't score, they might not win. I don't know the answer. I don't know how to compute the mind-boggling, not in 55 years stats with the, hey, these are real close games against not the top teams.
Well, and this is a Keith Parrish kind of line of thinking here. I went and looked. You know, they are on this six-game winning streak. They beat Minnesota. They beat Houston. Yeah. They beat the L.A. Lakers. They beat the Knicks in a miracle overtime finish that shouldn't have happened. They beat the Houston Rockets, and they beat the San Antonio Spurs. I rest my case.
Oh, you're saying you don't believe in the current upsurge of Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. Here's one thing I do like about them. All right, maybe they are not built in the same way that the Grizzlies and the Pelicans and the Nuggets are built to rack up regular season wins. But I do think having MVP caliber Luka, I do think they're built for the postseason where the game slows down a bit more. I know when I'm preparing my Grizzlies podcasts and I see the not great Grizzlies half court numbers, and I'm always looking at the very top of the heap, and it's the Dallas Mavericks who can score in the half court. And so maybe it's less important scratching out wins in December, or it's not as good at scratching out wins in December. Maybe Luka's more equipped. But also, Reggie Bullock, make more shots, man.
That's it.
Make Luka have to score 60 points and have 20 rebounds to beat a team in overtime. You guys should be winning those by 30. Luka should be sitting the last 10 minutes.
That's right. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. Keith, get out of here.
Ding, ding.